Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, 136 people have attended the emergency department at Letterkenny University Hospital in the last 24 hours. The Education Minister says significant progress on the remediation programme for 40 schools constructed by Western Building Systems has been made. It's emerged that an elderly man managed to prevent an intruder from breaking into his home in Castlefin, and a planning application has been lodged for 160 social houses in Strabane. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Hargan coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, 136 people have attended the emergency department at Letterkenny University Hospital in the last 24 hours, which is significantly higher than the average number of patients attending per day. The full capacity protocol has been implemented, and management at the hospital say all efforts continue to be made to identify patients who are appropriate for discharge. A number of elective non-urgent procedures have also been deferred. The public are again urged to attend the ED only in the case of real emergencies and to contact their GP or GPI out of our service in the first instance. The Central Bank is going to contact consumers to find out about their experiences of dual pricing in relation to insurance. The Central Bank appeared before an Oireachtas committee this afternoon to discuss the issue. Derval Rowland, Director General Financial Conduct at the Central Bank, says it will be helpful to get the facts rather than anecdotal evidence. Sinn Féin Finance spokesperson and Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty also pressed Ms. Rowland to explain the apparent lack of compliance with the Central Bank's Consumer Protection Code.
The Consumer Protection Code 2012, you said, is central to the conduct of business mandate, your conduct of business mandate. We know that firms must fully disclose all relevant information, including charges, in a way that seek to inform their customers, and we know that they have to act fairly in the interests of the customers. I give you an example of Ray, who has had his renewal premium of $1,420, and the same company offered it at $680 online. And I give you the example of Alex from Waterford, who was charged $871, the same company online $400. How and under God could we argue that those companies are in compliance with the Consumer Protection Code, our laws of this state of 2012, in relation to acting fairly, because there was no disclosure that they're operating dual pricing? It's not about what is the best price we can offer you, it is how much can we get away from charging you. So how could they be in compliance with the Consumer Protection Code in relation to their requirement to act fairly with their customers when we see two different prices for the exact same risk profile from the exact same company?
Precisely because dual pricing is something that, and differential pricing is something that we feel is a priority, we are doing the work on it. The examples raise the issue, and we are doing a huge piece of work across motor and home insurance precisely to get a lot of information about this. But I can't be conclusive in an answer without looking at this, which is precisely why we're going to do this very detailed and comprehensive piece of work.
The €40 million cost to date to repair school building defects is below the expected cost, according to the Education Minister. Work has been completed so far in 14 schools built by Western Building Systems and will start on the rest next year, including Letterkenny Educate Together National School, after it was assessed as having similar safety issues to those identified last year in 22 others. Minister Joe McHugh says significant progress in the remediation programme has been made and insists no other projects will be impacted by the money spent on the repairs. He says the cost incurred to date is less than forecast.
It's below what we were putting out in terms of our expectation. But one of the big challenges was time and also in live settings when students were in school. So that's why we've had to maximise the summer just passed, but also we've been using holiday time and other times as well. But to answer your question, it was below our estimation initially.
It's emerged that an elderly man managed to prevent an intruder from breaking into his home in Castlefin. The incident happened in Carrick-na-Shane in the early hours of Sunday morning. The homeowner heard a knock at the side of the door of his house, and when he opened the door, he was confronted by a male in a balaclava. The male attempted to gain entry to the house by force and he demanded money, but the elderly man managed to fend him off and he left empty-handed. Garda Gráinne Doherty has been giving a detailed description of the culprit and is also warning all homeowners to be on alert.
He was wearing grey clothing, grey top, grey trousers, the balaclava, and he's described as being tall and thin. So just anybody in that area at that time, if they've seen somebody matching that description along the roadside or in the area, or even any cars about that they wouldn't usually see in the area, if they could give us a ring in Letterkenny on 074 916 7100, or the confidential number either, 1-800-666-111. He'd managed to get somewhat of a look at him anyway, sometimes in a panic. You'd imagine somebody wouldn't, but you know, he got an accurate enough description of the man. And just on that note, I would just like to say as well, you know, the evenings are getting dark now, regardless of what time of day it is, really. It wouldn't be advisable, especially people living home alone, anybody elderly, vulnerable particularly, to open the door. You know, keep the house doors locked, even during the day. You know, if you're in the house during the day, keep the doors locked and shout out, ask who's there. If you know the voice, well and good, and even have a chain lock maybe fitted to the door.
The Taoiseach has warned the state pension may not exist for some people if action is not taken now to raise the retirement age. The Labour Party has called for the planned rise of the pension age to 67 to be delayed. The change, which was planned by Labour in government, is in part to address the rising numbers of pensioners. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar said changes need to be made to ensure the viability of the state pension into the future.
People are living much longer, and that's a great thing. But that does now raise questions about the sustainability of our pension system into the long term. And if we don't start raising the pension age now, we may find that people who are now in their 30s or 40s or 50s won't have a pension at all at a certain point into the future.
A planning application has been lodged for 160 social houses in Strabane. The proposed development would be located at the former Adria site in the town. Westro and MLA Daniel McCrossan believes that this should go a long way in addressing what he terms is the chronic housing executive waiting lists in the area. He is hopeful that the project will get off the ground as soon as possible.
Also, there's 22 flats also being built, which helps for single people, particularly single men, who we have a great difficulty in finding accommodation for. So that will alleviate some pressure in that regard, but there's a lot further to go. But certainly 160 houses placed in a site that has huge historical importance to the wider Strabane area, given that it was home for many people in terms of employment for a long, long number of years, being former Adria site. This is a significant development and will have great benefits for the entire Strabane community. The sooner this happens, the better. I can't stress enough the pressure that this local community is under in terms of housing need, and certainly this will go a long way in alleviating those pressures, and we're delighted to see it happen.
And we know it is at a very early stage. Have we any indication as to if this planning application is approved, when shovels will get in the ground?
It's with planners at the minute, and that can be quite a fraught process at times, but I know that local planners are absolutely committed to seeing houses built in Strabane, particularly social housing, for those who need it. And I know that Haventeg are working very, very hard also to see it progressed quite swiftly. My colleagues in the SDLP, and I'm sure across other parties, will be working hard to see this delivered on time and swiftly, without any hurdle, hopefully. And I know that the wider community also in the local area where these houses are going to be built are largely in favour of this, which is very, very positive indeed. So I don't foresee any particular issue in relation to the development. I think we're going to see this site be shovel ready very soon.
Serious health and safety concerns have been raised over Cornwall Road, just outside Letterkenny. The road is home to a vast graveyard, which sees a significant amount of visitors on a daily basis. However, there's currently no right-hand turn available for people to use to pull into a graveyard, with a minor crash happening there in recent weeks. The issue was due to be raised at today's sitting of the Letterkenny Municipal District by Councillor Jimmy Kavanagh. He believes something must be done as a matter of urgency.
There's no turn-in lane for them to sit there and wait to turn in. There was an accident there recently, a young couple who were going into to visit a family grave. And they were hit from behind, and they were lucky that they were both weren't very, very seriously injured. They were hurt, but they weren't. It could have been much worse. And, you know, as a result of that, I went out there and and just watched it for an hour one day. And it's amazing the number of people that are visiting that graveyard and how fast cars are coming out behind them, and it is very, very, very dangerous. So I'm just wondering if the council, I'm not sure about the amount of space there. The engineers need to look at it, but I would like them to examine it and see if there's any way they can provide a lane to turn in there.
And maybe if they can provide that lane, maybe even additional signage alerting motorists that there is a busy graveyard ahead, maybe that would do the trick.
Yes, Catherine, that was the other point that I was going to make today, actually, is that there's no signage there to say that there is a graveyard ahead. There's no warnings there to slow down because of that and so on. So, you know, whatever saving measures can be implemented should be implemented, you know, ideally a turn-in lane. But if that is not possible, we need better signage and we need better warnings so to give people a chance there, because it is very, very dangerous.
A majority of TDs are now in favour of introducing a rent freeze. Fianna Fáil has joined Sinn Féin, Labour, Solidarity, People Before Profit and the Social Democrats in calling for an emergency rent freeze. It comes after a new report from Daft.ie showed rents are again increasing. The average rent in Donegal is now €671, the second lowest in the country, and up 38% from its lowest point. Fianna Fáil leader Micheál Martin has joined the call for more serious action.
Fine Gael went for a rental model, thought the private market would resolve it, and it hasn't. And I think these figures are extremely worrying, Taoiseach, and the prediction of another 10 years of rent misery for younger people and young couples. And it does demand a dramatic change in scale of response in terms of both house building and in terms of a rent freeze.
Donegal County Council is being urged to take back control of civic amenity sites and not to put them out to tender. At present, Bryson Recycling operates the centres in the county, but Councillor Micheál Colmogill-Asbach says the council should not be depending on the private sector to operate its facilities. He said the opening hours of the Dunlow site are not suitable. Officials acknowledged that the centres in Dunlow and Cardonna are the subject of reviews in terms of the way they operate, but stressed the council does not have the resources or the capacity to operate the centres itself at present. Councillor McGill-Asbach says that can and must change.
I have zero interest in the privatisation of public services, and I've been raising about the public amenity sites here in Dunlow and in other parts of the county that they should be brought straight back into the ownership of Donegal County Council and after by Donegal County Council staff. At the moment here in Dunlow we have big problems where that the amenity site isn't opened to all the hours that serves the public. There's one full day and I think there's two half days, and that doesn't work.
So you believe then that Donegal County Council does at this point need to seriously consider taking these amenity sites back into the council's own control. The problem is, as was pointed out at the meeting, it's not a decision for councillors. This is a decision for senior management. This effectively is out of your hands.
Well, this is where the problem tends to lie. When you rode away the majority of power that councillors once had, that it's senior executives that make these decisions, and I suppose the buck stops at the senior management, the county executive, and that was, I think, done very much deliberate by the Dublin government, and again it certainly questions their definition of democracy. But I think that the majority of councillors were in the Glenties MD, I heard no opposition to it, that should be respected, that this is clearly what we want, that we need to move to end privatisation of public services. It's not in the best interest of the public, granted, in the best interest of businesses, but not the best interest of the public.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, now stocking the new Donegal Nevis GAA range. Shop in store or online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 16 minutes past five and time's latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Starting with soccer, in the Republic of Ireland, women's side were 2 minutes away from victory in Greece but had to settle for a draw in their Euro qualifier. It finished Greece 1, Ireland 1 in Paneos, with the Greek leveller coming in the third minute of added time. Ireland took a first half lead with a superb finish by Amber Barrett, but the Irish struggled in the second half and the Greeks deservedly got their equaliser. Taylor Toland was once again an unused substitute. Ireland remained second in Group A and 4 points clear of today's hosts. Robbie Brady, he says he's been impressed with how Troy Parrott has settled into the Republic of Ireland senior setup. The 17-year-old's poised to make his debut against New Zealand in Thursday's friendly at the Aviva. Brady's set for his first cap since June, having been absent through injury. But the Burnley winger says Parrott fits right into the senior panel.
Physicality, the size of him for a 17-year-old, he's a big lad. But he's come in with smiles on now. And Jack Bourne has his arm around him, he's looking after him a little bit. So, it's exciting. It's exciting times. It's always good when a young lad comes in. But we do all we can to help him feel at home. And he seems to be settling in quite quick and good. So, no, it's great to have him in. Great to have him in.
Shamrock Rovers defender Lee Grace, he's to spend this week on trial at Championship side Hull City. The 26-year-old was included in the PFA team of 2019 after a fine season with the Cup winners. Back at home, the board of Finn Harps, they'll meet again with manager Ollie Horgan later this week. That's following discussions held with the manager last night. Horgan has made it clear that in the past that he believes the club needs major investment to allow them to become more competitive in the Premier Division and to aid their chances of avoiding relegation. And meanwhile, in a statement, Finn Harps have said that everyone at the club was aware of the need to build on current fundraising and commercial revenues for the 2020 season, and that they are looking forward to announcing new initiatives in the coming weeks. Cross-Channel England manager Gareth Southgate insists his squad is together and communicating following a clash at their training camp between Raheem Sterling and Joe Gomez. Sterling has been dropped from Thursday's Euro 2020 qualifier with Montenegro as a result, but has remained with the squad ahead of Sunday's match in Kosovo. Southgate says the issue between the two of them has been resolved.
I love all of my players. We're like a family, and all families have disagreements. And the most important thing for any family is that you communicate through those disagreements and you work through them.
Scotland, they'll be without captain Andy Robertson for their upcoming qualifiers with Cyprus and Kazakhstan. The Liverpool fullback, along with Manchester United's Scott McTominay and Bournemouth's Ryan Fraser, have all pulled out through injury. Steve Clarke's side can't qualify through their group, but can reach the finals in next year's Nations League playoffs. And Sheffield United boss Chris Wilder says there's no chance of Ollie Norwood coming out of international retirement. He made himself unavailable for Northern Ireland last season after winning 57 caps. Wilder says Norwood was adamant and positive about his decision. In ladies soccer in the colleges and universities Premier Division today, there was a bad day for the LYIT that finished Maynooth 5, the LYIT 0. Gaelic Games, Tyrone captain Matty Donnelly set to miss the entirety of Tyrone's National Football League campaign following a tendon injury that is set to sideline him for the next 6 months. Donnelly suffered a hamstring injury while playing for his club Trillick during the Ulster Club Football Championship quarter-final match with Derry Gonley. He'll also be in a race against time to recover for the start of Tyrone's Ulster Championship campaign against Donegal in May. In rugby, JJ Hanrahan is a major doubt for Munster's Heineken Champions Cup opener with the Ospreys. The out half had a scan on a suspected hamstring injury yesterday, and he'll have it monitored as the weeks progress. Munster already without Joey Carberry for the foreseeable future. Dave Kilcoyne and Chris Colotti, they have also been ruled out with respective calf and head injuries. While Will Addison and Lewis Luddick are both back in contention for Ulster's Pool 3 game away to Bath, they both missed last week's defeat to Munster through injury. Meanwhile, winger Rob Little has signed a new 3-year deal with the province to keep him at the King's Span until 2023. In athletics, Munich has won the right to stage the 2022 European Championships. The German city will host the multi-sport games with athletics, cycling, golf, gymnastics, rowing and triathlon, the 6 sports included. And in tennis, Roger Federer, he's back on track at the ATP Finals tennis in London. The 20-time Grand Slam champion has recovered from an opening defeat to Dominic Thiem with a straight sets win over Italian Matteo Berrettini. World number one Novak Djokovic, he faces Thiem this evening as the season-ending event continues. And in motorsport, Charles Leclerc will be given a 10-place grid penalty for Sunday's Brazilian Formula One Grand Prix. It's because he needs a change of a power unit which was damaged during the previous race in Austin in Texas. That's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And returning to some news, Gardaí are further warning business owners to be aware of a new type of scam targeting businesses. These scams, called invoice or CEO scams, target businesses by asking them to change their payment details to a service provider via emails that are designed to look like they come from a legitimate source. On today's 9 till noon show's Community Garda slot, Garda Gráinne Doherty says that these scams are having a huge impact on businesses that fall victim to them.
Once the business concerned is fooled into changing their payment details, they unknowingly then begin to transfer money to a bank account that is controlled by criminals. So if you have a business and you receive a request to change your payment details and you're unsure about this request or a bit iffy about this, pick up the phone. It's as simple as that. Ring the invoice company and verify, you know, that all is legitimate.
Weather now. Tonight will be cold with clear spells. There will be some further showers. Lowest temperatures of minus 1 to plus 2 degrees with frost forming and a risk of icy patches. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, 136 people have attended the emergency department at Letterkenny University Hospital in the last 24 hours, which is significantly higher than the average number of patients attending per day. The full capacity protocol has been implemented and a number of elective non-urgent procedures have also been deferred. The Central Bank is going to contact consumers to find out about their experiences of dual pricing in relation to insurance. The Central Bank appeared before an Oireachtas committee this afternoon to discuss the issue, and Sinn Féin Finance spokesperson and Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty pressed for an explanation of the apparent lack of compliance with the Central Bank's Consumer Protection Code. The €40 million cost to date to repair school building defects is below the expected cost, according to the Education Minister. Work has been completed so far in 14 schools built by Western Building Systems and will start on the rest next year, including Letterkenny Educate Together National School, after it was assessed as having similar safety issues to those identified last year in 22 others. And Donegal County Council is being urged to take back control of civic amenity sites and not to put them out to tender. At present, Bryson Recycling operates the centres in the county, but Councillor Micheál Colmagill-Osbagh says the council should not be depending on the private sector to operate its facilities. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices for this Tuesday evening, November the 12th. The death has occurred of Kathleen Nally, name McGinty, 67 Blue Cedars, Ballybofey. Her remains are reposing at her home. Fiona leaving her home on Thursday morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in the Church of Mary Immaculate Stranorler, with interment afterwards in Drumbo Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, if so desired, to the Oncology Ward, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. Family time from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Kathleen Olive Lutas, the Lodge Carrigans. Remains reposing at her home until 10 o'clock tonight. Funeral service tomorrow at 12 noon in the Church of St. Faith Carrigans, followed by private cremation. The death has taken place of Kathleen Doherty, née Durning, formerly of Hornhead, Dunfanaghy. Funeral from her daughter's home at 33 Elm Grove, Derry, tomorrow morning at 9:20, going to the Holy Family Church, Ballymagorty, Derry, for Requiem Mass at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the city cemetery. The death has taken place of Violet Gallagher, Kinnalargy, Downings. Remains are reposing at her late residence. Removal from there tomorrow morning, going to St John the Baptist Church, Carrigart, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time please from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Benny McLaughlin, 49 Mount Vernon, Colmore, Derry, and formerly of Stanley's Walk, Derry. Remains reposing at his home. Funeral leaving his home on Thursday morning at 10:20 for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Thornhill, at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the city cemetery. Family time please from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. The death has occurred of Martin Gillen, Gidor Road, Dunloe. Remains are reposing at his home. Rosary both nights at 9 o'clock. Funeral Mass on Thursday morning in St Cronus Church, Dunloe at 11 o'clock. Burial in the adjoining graveyard. Family time from 11 p.m. until 10 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Billy McGonigal, Ballyeehan East, Greencastle. Remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon at 1:15 for 2:00 Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Ballybrack, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. The death has occurred of Edmund Gillespie, 105 Knockwellan Park, Derry. He is being waked from the family home, 105 Knockwellan Park, Derry, with family time from 10:00 tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. Funeral leaving his home at 9:30 tomorrow morning for 10:00 Requiem Mass in St Columb's Church, Chapel Road, followed by burial in Ardmore Cemetery. Family flowers only, please, donations if desired to the Foyle Hospice. And the death has taken place of Bridget Quinn, Kingaro, Fintown. Bridget's remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral Mass at 11:00 tomorrow morning in St Columbkill's Church, Fintown, with burial afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Rosary tonight at 9:00, family time from after the rosary and before the funeral tomorrow morning. Family flowers only, please, donations if desired to Patients Comfort Fund, Brindley Manor Nursing Home, care of any family member.